Welcome to Song State. I'm here with my co-host Emma.
Hello.
And our guest today is Lamoon. Welcome, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, hello.
So for those who don't know, can like care to introduce yourselves and
My name is Helder Mendoza. I am one half of Lamoon. We are a duo from Ottawa. I guess we've been kind of writing together for, well, on this project for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. Well, about 3 years, I guess.
More like three.
Yeah. 3 years.
Yeah, lots of experience in the music industry in Ottawa, playing since mid-90s. But I did take a break for a bit, had a family, and focused on my kids. Moved out of Ottawa for about 16 years. I moved to Fitzroy Harbour, and then since 2018, I've been back in Ottawa. Went through some life-changing events, which led me to working with Paul.
I'm Paul Ross, the other half of Lamoon. And I guess Helder and I go back a long time, but in the recent probably 5, 6, 7 years, we played in a couple of bands together. Oh. Found our way to writing together and making an album and putting our focus on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So you guys say you've been writing for like 3 years-ish now?
I keep forgetting it's 2022. We started this project, I guess it was 2019.
Yeah,
so
it's probably almost 4 years ago we started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2018, I went through some pretty life-changing, changes. I went through a divorce and I moved away from where I was living. And my whole life kind of changed. I was in a pretty bad headspace. And I guess that was a lot of fuel for this album. Paul and I would, we would meet up at least 3-4 times a week, and half of it was songwriting and half of it was just getting out and jogging, and I think Paul was going through some hard times too, so it was a lot of therapy.
With all these runs and talking about stuff, we'd talk about everything, like from the relationships that had crumbled, and then, life and bigger political issues and like conspiracies and like the whole gamut.
Yeah.
So we were very like-minded, and I think that helped definitely from a writing point of view, that it's like we shared these things and we could like put some of the hard things that we kind of like mulling over into the music. And some of it's kind of sad, some of it's hard hitting, some of it's like a little bit shows that frustration and kind of like questioning and like a little bit of, how would you say, just kind of like...
There's tension. There's lots of tension on
that tension of not knowing some stuff, and being like, put it into the music. And that's like a great way to express yourself.
Even a lot of the music you make, like the way you guys make it, there's a lot of like notes that like create tension, and like there's a lot of stuff like that are... The emotion conveys it really well throughout the music with like Invisible Man.
Oh my god, song made me cry the first time I heard it.
Oh really?
I was like, because we put it on the station and I was like, yeah, this is so good. And then like we listened all the way through and we were just sitting out in the studio and I was just like, why is this so sad? And then it ended and I was like, tear in my eye, and everyone else is like, bro,
that's
you
amazing.
Good?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest compliments I've ever received.
I mean, how did you guys go about creating Invisible Man?
We were pretty thoughtful with how we wanted to aim that song. Like, I remember, I was downtown Ottawa, just getting off the highway there, and there was always this homeless man, and the whole meaning behind Invisible Man, I guess the underlying tone is being invisible to the public. And when you're a homeless person, how many times do we turn our heads and not look at them in the eye, And at the time, it was just like, wow, I'm like... with my life changes, it's like I'm not that far off from being where this guy is, and just having that realization is like, wow, it's pretty intense. And I think a lot of us, our financial status is what kind of carries us, and sometimes it's almost like a false pretense.
I think coming from where I drive to Helders, it's like I would pass at my intersections homeless people on the that intersection all the time. There was the guy with his dogs, and it was one of those kind of pulls at your heart, and you kind of also feel like it's hard sometimes to acknowledge it.
How did you go into like arranging Invisible Man and like figuring out what sounds to use and like the textures?
That's kind of funny.
Like that. That's funny because it was like actually the second song that we wrote on the album and pretty much like the last song that we finished. That song went through like three different genres. It was
It started off reggae, believe it or not.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But nothing, like, we just knew it didn't sound right, so we're like, no, this is not it. And so we would just keep digging until and even with the, you know, the instrumentation of the song, an interesting fact about that song is that we both play drums on that track. I started off the track and I couldn't get the ending. No matter what I was doing, it wasn't feeling right. And then, you know, Paul, he was getting pretty frustrated. He's like, dude, if that wasn't
we were
house,
supposed to finish a month ago.
I'm like, oh man, it's coming, it's getting there.
Yeah, it's funny. There's kind of like the acoustic and piano that's like in there in the beginning, and that's kind of like the chord structure, but it doesn't really feel like a piano and acoustic song. Yeah. It feels like it's more than that.
Electronic.
Yeah. It doesn't give me like a set feeling of what genre it is. I just kind of start moving. You know, it's kind of like, okay, let's see where this goes.
That's cool.
That's kind of a cool part of our whole process with this album, I think, was that we didn't really know what was to come either.
A lot of time is I almost find that the instruments almost find their own parts.
I'm a sucker for vocal harmonies. I love them. And almost all of your, like, just the melody vocal has a harmony under it. So I love that, first of all. But, like, is there a reason for that? Like, just...
I think I grew up just... That was one of my favorite parts of music was harmonies. So it's like...
He gets it.
Everything for me has always been like, oh, I got a harmony for that. Yeah. You know, and like... He wants to sing too, you know. It's like let's sing together, you know. And it's like, as soon as you kind of get that thing going, it feels good somehow.
And like the vocal delivery too, it seems very like upfront and like very personal. There's not like not much like blasting at you. What kind of went into that decision of not like using too much like gust? I don't know what the word is, but like
projection, like it's softer, you know.
I think that's just kind of our stuff. Like Paul said, like all these songs pretty much started, you know, the building block was like, okay, an acoustic and just our voices. And, you know, vocally, I don't think...
We're working late at night, too.
Oh, yeah.
We're not blasting. He's got kids, so it's like, I think we were never singing loudly.
You guys mentioned, like, a lot of, like, politics and, like, yourself and your... Whenever you, like, you're talking about writing songs and stuff. Is that... a general theme throughout the album? How would you say you go about your own lyric writing in that sense?
I think a through line was some of the pain of like love and breakups was like a definite big one. And then all the things that come with that, you know, it's like trust and just like, who am I? And those kind of questions that you're like, you know,
self-worth.
Yeah, just like reflection and all that kind of stuff.
I know a song that comes to mind, our song Attic of the Mind. Carefully allocated time to make your destiny. You know, that whole song is about, you know, not living up to your full potential. And I think a lot of us have goals and stuff that we want to accomplish, but when we all have to work a 9-to-5 job, we kind of just, you know, we store those goals, you know, unlock the attic, the storage of your mind is, you know, the lyric of the song.
I think everybody's artistic and has something to like express, and it's like taking something that's deep inside them and putting it into the physical world. That's like an important process.
So when you like get started writing these songs, where do you usually start? Like, is there a specific instrument you start with? Is there like, do you start with a melody or like just... How do you, like, get going?
I think we were both doing acoustic snippets with, like, vocal ideas.
I think we're super hard on our songs as well. Like, we don't, you know, we try not to add any filler. Like, if it's a part that's not doing it for any of us, you know, we'll just chop it out and and figure out what the song needs. All killer, no filler is a good is a good process that we try to.
Well, I was thinking of like how I'd leave sometimes his place, and we had like fought to like write like a good line, even like for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and he'd be like, oh, sorry we didn't get much done. I'm like, dude, we got a killer line.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
And by that, we mean, like, even just, like, a lyric.
Like, we worked for it.
There was a couple of songs on the album, too, where it was just, I think, well, Attic was one of them, the outro of Attic. And I think Invisible Man, too. We had that, we had to, like, chop... That outro went on forever. Like, dude, we have to
like
end this.
8 minutes at first, you know.
This is never gonna end this song.
And, yeah, narrow it down.
Hey, you guys, you have a lot of long outros in your songs. Is there like any specific reason for that, or?
I think it's for what I just mentioned.
That you just can't end it, so it's like, okay, I get the idea.
Well, you know,
the love of the jam too. That both love playing and jamming, and it's like. Writing just your typical pop song where it's like they don't usually put in like a groovy you know part where you could like the thought provoking part where it's like you could actually chill and think for a little bit.
So how do you guys go about like putting your emotions and these stories into these songs? Like do you use much music theory? Do you know much music theory, or do you just kind of do something else to get it through?
I think when I write, I just try to tap into whatever feels good. Like sometimes songs just kind of, I don't know, it's almost like meditation where you just tap into the energy that's in the room and they kind of just present themselves. So before I even use any theory, it's just all just, you know, searching for melodies or for hooks.
I think for me, I tried to learn like a lot of different styles and genres and like I'd get into it and get to a certain just zone where you kind of understood some of the like basic parts of it, like from a bossa nova to like a little bit more jazz to a little bit more
like knowing the feeling of the genre and how to,
like
get
just
there.
Learning reggae, like how the bass kick lands and like a lot of those things eventually inform you that you have like some places to draw from.
You know, it's easy, you know, we have the skills if we want to just play scales and and shred on the song, but it's I don't think anybody really wants to hear your Olympic musical capabilities. They just want to hear melodies. I know it's something that I've heard, like, you know, something, I think it came from Michael Jackson, where he's saying, you know, if you can whistle your melody, then you usually have something pretty substantial.
Our final question, right? What's a piece of advice you would give to someone who struggles to put themselves into their art?
I'm still at that
It's a million-dollar question.
It's tough, man. Art is... you're always going to be battling your own self. Like, your self-doubt. You're never going to be good enough.
Thinking about that, it's like not being so hard on yourself and to remember that life's short and that it's fun to share. But also the discipline to do it regularly and don't forget that, like... It should be fun most of the time, but I think some people get into the grind where they don't feel like they're improving or they don't feel that it's, you know, they start having these like criticisms about themselves.
I think a lot of it too is deep at heart, I'm a perfectionist. I'm constantly looking at my art and saying, oh, it needs to be better, it needs to be better. And then, you know, a year or two, I'll look at it, I'm like, why the hell didn't I release that? That was great. And I just talked myself out of, you know, maybe a lot of interest from other people.
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it so much. That has been Paul Ross and Hedler of La Moon.
Song State. Song State.
Yeah.